Good morning. Now, I realize that everybody's internal clock is ticking and saying, it is lunchtime. So, y'all have to listen quickly today so that we can get to lunch in a reasonable time. But, have you ever stopped to think about what makes Galilee Baptist Church a unique church? I knew somebody out there was going to give me the spiritual answer. It's the Lord, right? I mean, really, just stop and think about what is that it factor that has allowed Galilee Baptist Church to exist for 144 years. You know, when I look at my time here, I've only been here for about 2% of that time. So that's about 3 years, if you're doing the math. And I know we've got our spiritual people out there going to say, well, it's the Lord. The Lord is the reason why Galilee has existed for 144 years. Yes, that is true. But have you ever stopped to think about what is the means by which the Lord has furthered Galilee Baptist Church? I think I can speak pretty confidently to say it's the members of Galilee Baptist Church. Whether it's the charter members, who many are buried behind me in the cemetery, or whether it's the many of you who are here this morning or were here all throughout this week, one of the reasons that Galilee Baptist Church thrives is because of you and me as members. Now, why am I bringing all that up? Well, this morning our passage will show us why that is important. If you've not yet done so, or you didn't hold your place earlier when we prayed through it, open with me to Philippians chapter 3. We'll be in verses 17 and we'll go all the way through chapter 4, verse number 1. If you are using the Bible that is provided in the pew in front of you, you can find today's text on page 1200. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word in your home that you can read and understand as a gift from our church to you, please take that Bible home with you, because we believe that that is God's Word. When you find your place, follow along with me as we read this passage. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse number 17, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Okay, me, I heard you back there. All right. Alright, Philippians chapter 3 verse 17. The word of the Lord is going to speak to us better than Siri can. Verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame, with mind set on earthly things. But our citizenship is from heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to even subject all things to Himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. This morning's passage is pretty straightforward. I mean, as we read that, you can see it's pretty straightforward. There are some people that you are to imitate. There are some people that you are not to imitate. Regardless, we are all called to stand firm. So that's how we're going to look at this morning. Very straightforward and very to the point. The first thing that we see in this text is that we are to follow the example of faithful Christians in this life. Starting in verse number 17, we see how we are to follow the mature who live eternally focused. Now, before we jump in here, let me give a disclaimer to all of my note takers out there. As we read through the passage, you probably noticed in verse number 17, we are encouraged to imitate a certain group. And then when we get to verses 18 and 19, it says, don't be like these people. And then when you get to verse number 20 and 21, it says, and be like these people. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start out with verse number 17 and look at the type of person that we should imitate. And then we're going to follow the text into verses 18 and 19 and see the type of people that we are not to imitate. And then we'll circle back around and we're going to look at those that we should imitate. So for all of my note takers out there, don't panic. I will tell you when we're coming back to what we're coming to. But the first thing that we see in the text is that we are to follow mature people who live eternally focused life. Look at verse number 17 again. Paul writes, brothers, or Maybe a better translation would be brothers and sisters. He's not just talking to men. He's talking to all Christians. Christians, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So who are those that we should imitate? We should follow those who walk according to the example you have in us. But what is this example? If only we knew what this example was. Well, we do. I mean, isn't that what the whole book of Philippians has been telling us? The example of how we are to walk as part of a joyful fellowship? I mean, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we see that we are to follow Christians. The first step of imitating someone who is mature is to you yourself become a Christian. How do you become a Christian? Well, we talk about the gospel every single Sunday, and the gospel, we boil it down and try to represent it into four easy to understand points. Point number one is the fact that there is a God who created us all, and because He created us, because He created you, He has the right to tell us His standard, how we are to live our lives. But we don't live up to His standard. We do our own things. We do not obey Him. And as a result of that, man enters into the picture, and we are rebellious. And because of our sinfulness, we are separated from God. But God so loved us, even that while we were yet sinners, He sent Christ to live a perfect life for us, to die a sinless death for us. So that if we respond with faith and repentance, we can and will be saved. Friend, maybe you're here this morning and you're hearing me preach out of Philippians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse number 17, and you're hearing this charge to imitate mature Christians. The first step for you is to actually become a Christian. You cannot follow an example if you've not yet even taken the step toward that example. Today, the Word of God preaches to you, speaks to you, and says, follow Christ. The other example that as we go on through here is that we are to follow Christians who love one another. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, we see exactly how that is spelled out. That Paul talks about how he longs for them, how they are his joy, how he loves them. We are to follow Christians who sacrificially advance the gospel. In chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, Paul talks about how above everything else, whether they preach out of pretense, whether they preach out of right motives, it does not matter to me because the advancement of the gospel, that's my priority. Follow those kind of people. The text goes on and shows us the example that we are to follow those who value Christ more than life itself. In chapter 1, verses 19 through 26, we see that in the famous passage, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Christ is more valuable than life itself. Follow Christians who live with integrity and consistency to the gospel. You see that in chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. Follow Christians who spread joy and unity. Chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4, we see Paul urges them that if there is any unity in the Spirit, if there is any consolation and love, and then he goes on to say, then fulfill my joy by being in the same Spirit. Follow Christians who spread joy and who promote unity within the church. He goes on with the example. Follow Christians who walk in Christ-like humility. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, as Paul calls the church to have the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself for our sake. How much more should we be willing to humble ourselves? Follow Christians who seriously pursue sanctification. Chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, you see that call to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to accomplish His good purpose. Follow Christians who are serious about becoming more like Christ, not just who want to show up and check off a box, but are intently and seriously wanting to become like Christ. Follow Christians who are faithful in the most mundane moments of life, chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. I'll skip one right there. Follow Christians who are not grumblers and complainers, chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. You see, Paul gives us several examples, like in chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Follow Christians who value Christ and take joy in Him more than their own religiosity. Or as we saw last week in chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, follow Christians who keep the main thing As Paul noted last week as we looked at chapter 3, verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God of God in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul tells us very clearly the type of person whose example we should follow. And that's just an overview of the book of Philippians. Let me ask you a question. Who are you following? Whose example are you following? I said it a couple of weeks ago, but we all are disciples of someone. Whether we acknowledge it or whether we don't, we all learn what we do from other people. So the question I'm asking you is, who are you learning? Who are you following? Who are you a disciple of? Who are you becoming like? And if you say, well, I don't know, well, the chances are you're probably becoming like someone that you don't want to become like. The flip side of that coin is, who is following you? If someone were to follow you in their pursuit of Christ, would they become more like Christ or would they become more like the world? You see, as Paul calls the church and he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. It's very clear that we should follow people who follow Christ and follow Christ well. Now, I already got myself in trouble in the first service, so I might as well do it again, right? A few months ago, Miss Linda Hall took it upon herself to make a Christmas quilt. And the sole purpose of this Christmas quilt was she wanted to make it, to donate it to the church, to sell raffle tickets so that all of the proceeds, 100% of what's made, can go toward our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which benefits international missions. I got in trouble because she doesn't want any acclaim for it. She doesn't want to be brought up, but I thought, I might as well. Then a few weeks ago, as we started bouncing this idea around about doing an arts and craft fair during Fall Fest, Miss Linda took it upon herself and her posse to begin working on several projects. Wednesday rolls around and Miss Linda and Miss Janice show up with their arms full and plop it down on the table and say, don't touch this. We'll be back at 4 to set it up. Yes, ma'am. And then all night long, she and Miss Janice and Miss Tops and Miss Peggy sat there and they worked during Fall Fest. That's just the tip of the iceberg. You can look around. If you were there, you saw people like Miss Geraldine Kleinpeter and several of her family that were willingly serving, who made things, who put in there. There were several of you who contributed in that way. You see, the thing is, all of us, all of you who did these things, you were doing them not because you wanted recognition for yourself, but you were doing them because you wanted future generations to know about Christ. And not just know about Him, the over $1,300 that was raised for the G-Kids store will be used to send kids to camp. And it's all because of you. You see, I could go on for probably literally hours this morning giving examples of who to follow because we have several people in this church who fit that mold. If you are not following someone who is following Christ, the only excuse you have for not imitating a mature Christian is laziness. Discipleship is not an option in the Christian life, it's the mandate. We are called to follow those who follow Christ. And it's important we recognize those who have maturity because we also need to recognize that there are the immature that we should avoid because they live with an earthly viewpoint. Look at verse number 18. First thing that we see about the type of people we should avoid imitating are those who have the resemblance of Christianity without knowing Christ. And it's heartbreaking. Look again at verse number 18. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. These were those who at one time or another were actually part of the fellowship at Philippi, or the fellowship at Philippi knew who they were, and yet they went astray. Have you ever seen a pair of knockoff tennis shoes or a knockoff watch? It looks really close to the similar, but it's very close to the real thing, but it's not. How many of you have ever handled counterfeit money? When I was in high school, an organization that I was part of had to work a concession stand. And as we worked the concession stand, I'll never forget that time that somebody passed a fake $20 bill. Now, you knew pretty quickly that it was a fake $20 bill, but it had a lot of marks that looked like a real $20 bill. I mean, it was green. It was the right size. It had that smug picture of Andrew Jackson saying, "I'm about to get out of your wallet." You know the picture I'm looking at. But when you felt it in your hand, it didn't feel like real money. When you held it up to the light, it didn't have all of the security features that the genuine article actually has. You knew very quickly that it was a fake. It was not the real thing. The same thing is true in Christianity. We all know those people in our life who claim to be Christians. They might have the right color, they might have the right look, but when you spend time around them, they just don't feel like the real thing. Or when you examine them closely, not judgmentally, but just watching the overall arc of their life, it doesn't seem that they have the same features as the real thing. Maybe this morning, that's you. Maybe this morning, as you even hear me say that, you have convinced others that you are a genuine follower of Christ without actually knowing Christ. This morning, why not repent? Why not turn from your sin? Why not trust to Christ once and for all? Because here's the thing. Every single one of us who is a Christian came to that point in our life where we said, we're broken. We're sinners. Enough with the game. We will be followers of Christ. Friend, if you're here this morning, don't let that charade of Christianity prevent you from knowing the joy of Christ. Turn to Him. Seek Him. The church, for those of us who do know Christ, are we indifferent when we see people who stray? Or do we genuinely care? When you look at what Paul says, as he even tells people to avoid imitating these type of people, did you notice the emotion in that? I've told you about them even with tears. Why? Because they walk as enemies of the cross. Are we moved or burdened when we see people who have walked away from the Lord? We should be, because in verse number 19, we see what their end is. Did you see that? Their end is destruction. Well, how is their end their destruction? And we need this warning. We need this warning of what to avoid, because it's so easy for us to be entrapped just as these people were. Here's why. The people that Paul is referring to right here are known historically as the Judaizers. We've already talked about them some in the book of Philippians. But the Judaizers were those who would come into the church and say, "Oh, we're Christians. We're the real thing. We are genuine followers of Christ. But if you want to be a real follower of Christ," lean in here, let me tell you a secret. If you want to be a real spiritual Christian, then here's how you have to look. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to do this. You know, the stuff that you eat, you got to be careful about what you eat, because you still need to follow those dietary codes. And about the observances and the different type of holidays that we celebrate, well, there are only a certain of those that we need to celebrate. You see, it was such a risk, such a danger, because it imitated the real thing, but it added to it. It took the gracious, eternal gift of God and turned it into an earthly work where you could earn your salvation. Do you see how these two things are so similar? On the one hand, Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And on the other hand, you have the Judaizers who say, "Follow me so that you can know Christ." They sound very similar, but they are worlds apart. Church, we need to beware of getting to that point where we are convinced that if you want to be a good Christian, yeah, you need Jesus, but you also have to do this. Or if you want to be a good Christian, well, it also has to look like this. You see, these Jews, where he talks about their God is their belly, they were so concerned with the dietary laws and the purity of the dietary laws that they forgot about the holiness of God. When it talks about their glory is their shame, they were so concerned about living morally and being good people that they forgot about the God who oversees all morality. The God who is Himself holy. You see why it's so dangerous? It's dangerous because it takes this good gift of Christ and it adds to it. It takes the heavenly gift of grace and reduces it to earthly performance. For this reason, Paul switches back then and reminds us, here's your note taker right here, we're coming back to the people we should imitate. He reminds us, don't be so earthly minded like them, but rather let your attention be turned toward heavenly things. Look at verse number 20. The Word of God says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. If we're going to follow the mature who live with an eternal mindset, we have to be reminded that we are not citizens of this world primarily, but we are citizens of the next. We are citizens of heaven. Church, don't lose sight of that. This world is not our permanent home. Yes, we need to be good stewards of what God has given us. We need to do everything that we can to be fair and just and equitable. But this is not our final home. Heaven is. So don't get so caught up in things of this world that you lose sight of the fact that God has saved you. We see that we also wait for our Savior. Imitate those who wait for their Savior. You see, our citizenship is in heaven as we await our Savior, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that He is the Lord signifies that He is our Master. We obey Him. That He is our Savior tells us that we cannot do anything, that we rely solely on His grace. As we wait obediently and graciously. And why is that? We wait because He alone can redeem us. He alone will make us into the image of Himself. We will be made like His glorious body. Why? Because He is sovereign. Did you notice that last part? That He subjects all things to Himself. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? The God who saves us is the God who spoke and the universe was created. The God who we claim that we can know and who can know you, that has spoken to us in His Word, is the God who spoke and all things that are were made. It's the God who, according to Colossians chapter 1, upholds all things, who by His might sustains all things. As we wait, we need to be reminded that in this world, we live in a world that is broken, that is hurting. But because we have a hope, we don't have to be sucked down into the world that is around us. We can look, waiting patiently for the Lord. And what is our response to this truth? Well, we see that in verses 1 of chapter 4. We are to stand firm with faithful Christians through spiritual warfare. Now, I'm going to move very quickly through this verse, because next week we will build on this. This is kind of a transitional verse that ties in chapter 3 to chapter 4, but it goes with both sides of it. So let's look at it here. I want to see two things very quickly. The first thing I want us to see is that we need one another to stand firm. Did you notice the loving, familiar language that is encapsulated in verse number 1? I want you to follow along with me as we read. Therefore, my brothers, my sisters, he's talking about church, whom I love. That's pretty straightforward. I don't think you can get any way around that, that there is love that's there. Who I long for. The last time I checked, you don't long for people who get on your nerves. My joy. They're people who bring Him joy. My crown. They are His delight. After He gives the command, did you notice what He said? My beloved. For us to be able to stand firm, we have to realize that we need love and care from one another. The tool Satan will use to destroy this church is to bring about division so that battle lines are drawn and camps are formed and we no longer love and care for one another. Instead of talking to one another, we talk at one another. If we are going to follow Christ, if we are going to stand firm, we have to stand firm with one another. But it's not just with one another. We also need one another to support us as we stand firm. Did you notice that? So he talks about, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord. Life is hard. We grow tired. We grow weary. We grow distressed. We even grow depressed at times. This is why we need one another to come around us and to support us and to remind us, stand firm in the Lord. It's one of the reasons why we need to gather together like we do on Sundays and as we do in Bible studies, so that we can remind one another, here is who God is. Here is how He has worked. And no matter what your circumstances are, God is still who He is. He's not going to change. We need one another who can draw us back and say, do you remember how God worked in this situation in my life? God still works. We need one another in each other's lives so that we can look at one another when we're having those moments and say, do you remember how God worked in your life 10 years ago? Remember, God is faithful. He's not going to abandon His people. It may not work out like you want it to work out. It may not work out like I want it to work out. But God is faithful. We need one another so that when Satan tries to tell us that this is how it's going to be, when he tries to keep us in those moments where we are discouraged and depressed, we need one another to step in and to remind us, no, stand firm in the Lord. The Lord is still good. As we look at this word, I told you it was very straightforward. Told you from the very beginning what it was about. There are some people that we are to imitate. Imitate those who follow Christ. There are some that we should avoid imitating. Don't follow those who want to make it all about themselves, who try to add to Christianity. But ultimately, we are all called to stand firm. It's very straightforward. But this morning, I know that the word of the Lord speaks. So here's what I want to ask us during our time of invitation. Maybe you're here this morning and you've realized that you have never made a commitment to follow Christ. During our time of invitation, I want to invite you to respond to the message of God's grace and mercy by placing your faith in Christ alone. Maybe you're here this morning, and as a Christian, you've realized that you have not been following the type of people that you should follow, or you've not been the type of person that someone would need to follow. Maybe this morning you need to take serious your commitment of discipleship. Maybe this morning you've looked at this, you've heard this, and you've said, I'm having a hard time standing firm. Maybe this morning your commitment needs to be to one another. You need to commit to encourage one another, to stand alongside of one another, to be the type of person who calls one another brothers and sisters. My joy, my crown, my beloved, those who I love, those who I long for. If you're a member of this church, maybe you can need to commit to being more of that type of person. Maybe you're not a member of this church and you say, I want to make a formal commitment to be part of the membership of Galilee Baptist Church, who are in agreement with one another that we are standing firm together. When God's grace gets a hold of us, it transforms us. It transforms us so that we are no longer fixated on this world, but because we become citizens of the next. And when His grace works in us, we need to learn from other Christians how to follow Christ. Let's pray.